Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I love those days in the summer that I call shiny days. Shiny because the sun is bright and warm and there isn't a cloud in the sky. And especially when I was younger and I was at my parents' cottage, the sun was reflected on the calm lake and the leaves just shimmered and glistened, the glory of God in creation. Those are the kinds of days that sometimes had me thinking about what must it have been like in the Garden of Eden? A place of perfection, everything reflecting the glory of God, and only one rule: don't eat the fruit of that one tree. Now, when you think of all the riches of creation, you'd be tempted to think that it would have been easy. I mean, one tree to avoid like the plague. The rest of creation spread like a feast for our pleasure. Human nature is funny about rules, it seems. An example from a book that I once read said, "Don't think of pink elephants." And of course, there's something about that word "don't" that causes us to rise up in massive rebellion, and then all we can think about is pink elephants. I sometimes wonder whether the fall might have happened even without the intervention of that pesky serpent. But having fallen into a state of rebellion, humans needed more than one rule to order their lives. We think of the Ten Commandments and the book of Leviticus, which the Jewish people later codified into 613 distinct laws, laws which Orthodox Jews endeavor to keep to this day. In today's gospel and epistle texts, we find that even those who follow Jesus are called to obey what God commands. The problem is that if we make our whole Christian lives about rules and obedience, we risk missing the whole point. We risk falling into legalism. So, what exactly is legalism, and why is it to be avoided just as much as that one tree? The problem with legalism isn't the rules, the laws, the commandments, whatever we want to call them. These days, I think people want to think of them as guidelines. Anyway, but if you think of it, most of them are just common sense. The things that we want if we want a well-ordered life and society. Don't steal your brother's stuff. Don't gossip about your sister. Don't lie just to get out of a tight corner. And for sure, don't murder anyone in their bed or anywhere else for that matter. I can't even begin to imagine what a horrible, frightening existence we would have if we lived in sheer anarchy and lawlessness. The problem with legalism is the relationship that it creates between us and the commandments. A relationship which becomes primary as we start evaluating lives in terms of the degree to which we or others keep those commandments. In relationship with others, we can become judgmental and condemning those who in our eyes just don't measure up. In terms of ourselves, we can either become depressed and despairing because we don't measure up either, or we can become proud and self-righteous because we think we do. Neither of those is a helpful spiritual state of being. The problem with legalism is that, in effect, it makes the commandments given by God into God instead of God. So, to avoid that problem, what shall we do with the commandments? Just throw them out? Our texts for today make clear that is not the solution. We are told to obey the commands, to carry out the commands. But our texts also make clear that the be-all and end-all is not really so much about the commandments at all. It is about loving God and loving neighbor. Luther suggests, I have this historical tendency of quoting Luther. I was raised in the Lutheran church and went to Lutheran schools my whole life. Anyway, Luther did say a couple of good things. He suggests that the Christian life is a paradox, that a Christian is a perfectly free Lord of all, subject to none. The idea of the freedom of the Christian, the idea when we read books like Romans, there is now no condemnation. And, he says, a Christian is a perfectly dutiful servant, subject to all. We are called to love and to serve our neighbors. The freedom is not lawlessness, and that duty is not legalism, but rather the expression of our love together. Luther suggests that Christian life lives in this paradox. Our texts today remind us that the commandments are not just lifeless statutes carved into stone. The commandments are the word of God who loves us and who only wants the best for us. In 1 John, we read that the commands of God are not burdensome. Unlike the Pharisees, who, Jesus tells us, laid on the backs of people burdens that they themselves were not willing to bear. The commands of God are not meant to burden us down, but rather to lift us up into the fullness of the life that God intends for us. I'm thinking that if we are experiencing the commands of God as a burden, maybe we are focusing too much on the commandments and too little on God, who wants to guide us into the abundant life that Jesus came to bring. While the text uses words like obey, a word which too easily tempts us into a legalistic perspective, the context of today's text, both the gospel and the epistle, is love and relationship. Obedience in this context is not just kowtowing to a bunch of arbitrary rules, but rather carrying out those commands as an expression of love for the God who loves us. Jesus tells us that we are no longer servants, people who obey out of a sense of fear or duty, but we are friends of God. Think for a minute about your relationship with your best friend. I'll bet you that we have all at one time or another done something that would not have been our first choice just because our friend asked us to. We did it out of love. And in the same way, as friends of God, we do what God asks out of love. Not out of fear, not out of duty, out of love. And of course, we will never do it perfectly. Not until we are in heaven, where every shadow of fallenness has been banished by the glory of God. But I really don't think that perfection is the point. God accepts our flawed efforts with the same graciousness that a parent receives the artwork of a child who is really not very talented at all. It is enough that we have given our best. From the beginning, humanity made choices that indicated that we thought that we knew better than God. And maybe that is something that sometimes makes the commandments seem burdensome. And at this point, we need to remember that loving God is also about trusting God, trusting that God knows best how to guide our lives into paths that will be fulfilling and transforming for us. Instead of trying to be masters of our own destiny, maybe it is enough to be a passenger on the ship of faith that will safely find the harbor that God intends. In today's gospel text, we hear again the echoes of the greatest commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. And secondly, love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Jesus says, as the Father has loved me, so I love you, and send you out into the world to share that love, in fact, to embody that love. And in doing so, we will find joy. The world tells us that joy is to be found in pursuing our own goals, ambitions, and happiness. On the American side of the border, they even have it in the Constitution as a right, the right to pursue happiness. Today's text seems to imply that joy is found as we remain in close relationship with God and give ourselves over to God's purposes of love. The psalmist in Psalm 16 says, you made known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. May God lead us into paths of loving service, into that life of fulfillment and eternal joy. Amen.